Thank you, Brother John and Miss Jean. Appreciate you guys being here tonight. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 9, and let's look at verses 13, and let's go to verse 18. Actually, I thought it was not 18 tonight, 13 through 18 tonight. We looked at wisdom last week, and now we're going to look at folly. And if you're able, let's stand in honor of God's Word, and let's read it its entirety, because you're going to see wisdom, very definitive attributes of wisdom. And then tonight, we're going to look at the very definite attributes of folly. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, "Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you'll bear it alone. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple. She knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you tonight for your word. Now, Lord, we pray together in unison in this church body tonight that we come to you and ask for wisdom. And Lord, we pray that you give us wisdom that comes straight from your word. Lord, as we look at the attributes of wisdom last week and we read it in its entirety tonight, Lord, let us yearn for wisdom. Let us ask liberally of wisdom. And Lord, you are faithful and just to forgive, give us just that. Lord, tonight as we look at folly, Lord, thank you for the warnings of your word. Lord, you have shown us the path to walk. And Lord, let us not lean on our own understanding. Let us not lean on our hearts, because our hearts are deceitful. Lord, let us rest in your understanding and your will and follow your path that you've lit before us. Lord, I ask you to be with us tonight. If there's ones here tonight that have not been born again, Lord, I pray that you grant them. I pray that you grant them salvation tonight, if it be your will, so that you are glorified and you're glorified alone. Lord, tonight for the ones out there that are your children, that are your sheep, but they have gone astray because they have been suckered in to the thinkings of the world, the thinkings of folly. Lord, I pray through the teaching and preaching of your word tonight that you correct us, you discipline us, you rebuke us back into the fold. Lord, thank you for your discipline. Lord, correct us. Show us where we need to go. And Lord, let us follow you in this. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. And for his powerful name, get all the praise here tonight. Amen. As we look at this tonight, Solomon has talked about wisdom as a woman. Now he talks about folly as a woman. Ladies, I'm sorry. We're not picking on you whatsoever. But I want to tell you this story tonight. There is a theologian that I admire deeply by the name of Dr. Al Mohler. Dr. Al Mohler is the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Brother Al Mohler is an excellent preacher and teacher of the Word of God. He does not sway because culture says sway. He does not sway because CNN says sway. He does not sway because this group says, "You've hurt my feelings." Dr. Al Mohler preaches and teaches the Word of God. He made a statement this week that offended a lot of people. He said that women cannot be pastors. And he got that strictly from the Word of God. And as he said that, he got a huge backlash from the feminist community, from the LGBT community, from every type of community angle that you can even imagine would attack Al Mohler. They attacked Al Mohler. And even on top of that, people in the evangelical circle attacked Al Mohler. Do you think Al Mohler backed down? Not one bit. Because his goal is not to please people. His goal is to please God. And how do you please God? By teaching and preaching thoroughly from the Word of God. Amen. So this lady that was a pastor at Louisville, Kentucky, wrote him a letter. And in this open letter to Al Mohler, she said, "Who are you to tell me that I can't be called to be a pastor of a church? Who are you to tell me that I can't be at the bedside of people in our church that are sick and dying? Who are you to tell me that I can't counsel married couples? Who are you to tell me that I can't do this, can't do that?" What you're doing, Dr. Mohler, is making our God small. And however, I want you to know, Dr. Mohler, our God is big. And He's bigger than any one of us. And so as He's called me to be a pastor of a church, therefore that is what I am called to do. Now, in this one-page letter that was written by this lady from Louisville, Kentucky to Dr. Al Mohler, not one time did she quote Scripture. Not one time did she refer to the Bible. Not one time did she refer to anything that even looked like God's Word. It was all about her subjective feelings. "This is how I feel." Well, let me tell you about our feelings. Our heart is deceitful. Our heart sins. Who we are is made up of sinners. And because we feel a certain way does not make it right. That is folly. That is folly. And so tonight when we look at this, you can never put forward how you feel more importantly than what God's Word says. God's Word has stood the test of time, will stand the test of time. It endures forever. It does not change. And therefore, when you and I get into this cultural chaos that we're in, you and I cannot change. We cannot change. Okay? There are values, principles, and morals that we stand by. And I applaud Dr. Al Mohler for sticking to the Word of God. We need more preachers and teachers that do those things. As we think about this, Solomon gives this analogy, if you will, of this woman, this foolish woman. Let's look at verse 13. That lady that wrote that letter to Al Mohler is a foolish woman. She is. She's a foolish woman. Number one, in the New King James Version, it says that the foolish woman is clamorous. She's loud. She's loud. She goes out and she gets everybody's attention because why? All the attention has to be on who? Her. Have you ever seen the person of folly that's like that? The attention has to be on them. They're loud. They're boisterous. It has to be all about them. It has to be, the attention has to be focused on them. Man, I have been at kids' birthday parties. kids' birthday parties where people have come to those birthday parties, and because the kid was getting gifts and the kid was being celebrated because it was their birthday party, that person had to do something stupid or that person had to do something boisterous so that the attention would be off that kid and be on them. Do y'all know people like that? Sure you do. Sure you do. They're boisterous, they're loud, they're clamorous. This is what the folly, the fool is. Number two, Solomon said that the foolish woman, she's simple. She's simple. She's simple in her ways. Why? Because he says it over and over again through the Proverbs that she is what? She is simple because she wants to seduce. She wants to seduce. She's never happy with what she has. She's not happy with her husband. She's not happy with her kids. She's not happy with her role in wife and life. So what does she try to do? She tries to always go out and get other things. Normally, when we read the Proverbs, as we've read it, what does she try to do? She tries to go out and get another man. Okay? She's simple because she's a seductress. And I love this about Solomon. Look at what he says here. She knows nothing. Love it. Means she's empty. She knows nothing. Hebrew means it's, she's empty. She knows absolutely nothing. So why would we, as people that are wise, why would we listen to a fool? I wish our government could hear this message tonight. I'm going to preach real heavy next Sunday night on this. Real heavy next Sunday night on this. Because there are some things happening in our country today that are unethical. There's some things happening in our country today that are stripping the very freedom that this country was built upon. And I'm going to preach on that next Sunday night for Memorial Day. So y'all pray for me. I may offend some of you, but I am going to tell you exactly how it is next Sunday night. When we're what we're dealing with here in this country. We are under attack, folks. Under attack. You and I who are believers in Christ, we are under attack not just from the devil and his demonic forces, but we are under attack from the very principalities and powers that have been put in place. And as they have been put in place as the prince and power of the air, they are doing what? They are coming for you and for me. This is where the tares and the wheat will show. This is where the sheep and the goats will be divided. This will be it. Where do you stand tonight, church? My prayer is that you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. She knows nothing. She's empty. Look at verse 14. She does the same thing that wisdom does. In verse 14, she sits at the door of her house. Same thing that wisdom did. And what she does is this. On the seat by the highest places of the city. She doesn't go out in the highway. She doesn't go out and try to give it to other people. What she does is she sits there and she waits for people to walk by her. Isn't that what happens? Who was that? Earl Thomas Conley, country music singer, said what? Nobody falls like a fool. Isn't that the truth? Fools go right into the lion's den. Fools jump right into the deep water. Fools are just foolish. And we've learned from that, have we not? Some of you adults, can I get a witness? You've been a fool at some time in your life? Yeah. Thank you for being honest. This is what the fools do. She sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest place of the city. She doesn't have to go out into the highways and byways. Why? Because people are going to come to her. They're going to come to her. They're going to ask her advice. They're going to do what fools do. That's what they're going to do. So verse 15 comes. When they walk by, to call to those who pass by who go straight on their way. Those who pass by. Here is the temptation. Here is the temptation of folly. Here is the temptation of the clamorous woman. Here is the temptation set on the highest seat of the city at the house. And people are walking by, and what do they see? They see folly. And these people are what? They're trying to go straight on their way. Straight on their way. If you was to interview people in the penitentiary tonight down at Huntsville, Texas, do you think that they grew up to be down there? I think not. I think not. Foolish seduction of life drew them into these decisions. Why? Because we are depraved in sin. Our sin nature is who we are, and this depravity that pulls them in to this folly's house, to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, they get trapped in what? The pleasures of life. Mr. Ricks, thank you again for the parables of the soil. We used that this morning. And as we use that this morning, what do we know? We know that on the wayside, Satan comes and takes the seed. We know that what? On the stony ground, that the root, it can't take much because when the sun comes out, it's going to dry it up. They immediately receive it with gladness, but when trials and temptations come, forget it. They're gone. Then what do we know about that thorny ground? That thorns are going to come up and they're going to choke out the plant, they're going to choke out the seed, and the seed's not going to be able to bear fruit. That's what we know. But right here is what we have, these people walking down the pathway of life, and as they walk down the pathway of life, what do we see here tonight? We see that folly is calling them, come to my house, come to my house, and these people are just trying to walk the straight path. They're trying to walk the straight path. How many of you have been there before? Right? Let me give you a story. Here just about a month ago, my daughter Brooke, her fifth grade class, took a field trip to NASA. And when we went down for NASA, we spent the night in Houston for the Thursday night, and then we stayed over Friday night, and we stayed close to Galveston. And we was going to a place down there called Kima. And we got down there, and we got on this boardwalk with all the rides and all the games, and the kids were having a good time. Jacqueline and I were having a good time with our family. And lo and behold, they had this big festival about to start up. And everybody started drinking. And it's 90 degrees down by the ocean. What do you think they're wearing, right? And everybody's drinking, everybody's partying, everybody's going crazy. And it's getting about sundown. And Jacqueline and I look at each other, let's get out of here. But the fool would have done what? Amen. Let's enjoy the party. Let's enjoy the party. Let's have a good time. Let the good times roll. Let's enjoy the party. Let's just get after it. And so we get in our vehicle. We crank up the vehicle. We're trying to get out of Houston, Texas, which is, man. And we drive by the strip of clubs that were right there, the restaurants and the clubs. And they had a mannequin out on the steps of a club that was also a restaurant, and the mannequin didn't have any clothes on, and it had a very vulgar sign held out there with families walking their kids to the amusement park. And I looked over at Jacqueline and I said, can you believe that? And she said, no. And the girls was like, what, Daddy? And I said, oh, look over there. See that seagull over there? You know, you don't want to expose them to those things of the world. Am I right? And so you don't want to expose them to those things of the world, because folly is out there and it sits at the highest seat of her house. And as she sits at the highest seat of her house, she's just sitting there. And the fool is just going to be going by. And listen, folks, that mannequin was sitting out there with that vulgar sign. And let me tell you, the line was so long you couldn't get into that place. Fools. Fools. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Watch this. We'll never have a long line getting into the church, okay? But you open up a little restaurant down here at Mineola, Texas, and you put some scantily clad waitresses in there and flashing lights, and you won't be able to get into that place. Fools. Listen, I've been there. You've been there. You've done stupid, dumb things that you wish... Am I preaching to me tonight? There are things in my life that I wish I could go back in a time machine and do a complete do-over. A complete do-over. And if I would have been more attentive to His Word, if I would have been more attentive to getting into His Word, then maybe I wouldn't have made the mistakes that I made. That I am making sometimes. This is who she is. She calls to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Look at verse 16. Whoever is simple, there's that word again, naive, gullible. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And he goes on and says, "And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him," and we're going to get to that verse 17 in just a second. Those who lack understanding, those that are simple, turn in here. Don't worry about the future. What? Just live it up right now. Don't worry about the future. Enjoy it right now. Don't worry about the future. Just live in the moment. And when you live in the moment, know this, there are repercussions to pay. Repercussions to pay. Live in the moment. Oh man, we're going to that good catfish place tonight and it's a buffet. You can eat all you want. And man, I'm going to eat all I want. But there's going to be a price to pay. Amen? You can apply that to anything in life. You go out there and do the things of the world and there's going to be a repercussion to pay. There's going to be a consequence. So I want to talk to you tonight just briefly on this. Because I don't know what's happened to our world. Do you? Amen. And I thought I had it here. I was going to show you something, a Bible conference that was given to me. And I don't have it with me. But I thought I did, and I wanted to share that with you. But let me tell you what's going on. Yeah, I do. Here it is. Wokeness and the gospel. Now they're having to put on conferences because let me tell you what's happening in our culture today. And if we're not careful, it can happen at New Hope Baptist Church. Okay? There is a movement in our country today that is endorsed by the President of the United States, that is endorsed by a certain party of the United States, that are doing some things that are tearing the very moral and fiber and thread of what this country was built upon to shreds. To shreds. All that the good things that have been done have been turned into dregs of society within just a few months. I'm just being honest with you tonight. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican tonight. I'm just going to tell you the truth. So wokeness and the gospel, there's a conference that you can register for, a conference on the new moralism and its incompatibility with the cross. With the cross. And man, they've got some good ones there. Tommy Nelson, he's a senior pastor at Denton Bible Church. Tom Buck. Earl Bryant knows Tom Buck. If you don't know Tom Buck, you need to listen to him on YouTube. He is the pastor at First Baptist Church, Lindale, Texas. If you moved your membership there tomorrow, I'd understand. He is a phenomenal preacher and pastor. Tom Buck made a comment at First Baptist Church, Lindale, that made national news. National news. Tom Buck made a comment in the pulpit. Dr. Tom Buck, an amazing preacher and teacher of the gospel of Christ, he made a comment in the pulpit and said this. He said, basically, and I'm not quoting him verbatim, but I did listen to what was said and I listened to the backlash of what happened to him afterwards. When he made this comment that the Vice President of the United States, her wokeness, her new morality is nothing more than what Jezebel was in the Word of God. Now let me tell you what happened to Tom Buck. Tom Buck got crucified on local radio stations, major news outlets, all across this nation, and he has been diagnosed by the left as public enemy number one. And all Tom Buck did was tell the truth. That's all he did. Is tell the truth. And so Tom Buck has been attacked over the term wokeness. Wokeness. Now you say, well, Michael, how does that affect New Hope Baptist Church? Well, just bear with me for just a second. He will speak on this conference of wokeness and the gospel, and all these speakers are going to speak there, and they're going to speak about the new moralism that is being shoved down our throat. And because you were born not African American, but because you were born of a different color, you are to reject how you've been made by your Creator because of what you've done to a certain race.
The new wokeness involves this. You're president. No, ma'am. This guy, let me tell you what he did. This guy did something that you and I as Christians, we can't stand for. If you voted for him, that's your business, but you and I can't stand for this. A judge rules against Christian College in lawsuit claiming Biden would now place in Christian colleges males in girls' dorm rooms. That's what he wants. Yeah. And so what has happened here, church, is that when you send your daughters or granddaughters off to college, and I would screen every college, quote unquote, they go to, that you have the possibility that they would be rooming not with another female, but they'd be rooming with a male. Now, how does that work? You know exactly how that works. And so what we got here is we've got this amazing, diabolical agenda that is being shoved down our throats. And what we have done as Christians, let's just be honest, is we get afraid to speak out. Well, I'm tired of not speaking out about this junk anymore. It is time that you and I took a stand on what is right and what is wrong. And we have a situation here in our government, let me just be honest with you tonight, that are a bunch of fools. They follow the ways of folly instead of the ways of wisdom. And so, what's happening next? With wokeness, you have heard the term critical race theory thrown around. And critical race theory that was presented to us on a YouTube channel by Wretched Radio. And if you never watch Wretched Radio and Todd Friel, he's kind of goofy, but he's good. Just get on YouTube and type in Wretched Radio, Todd Friel, and just listen to some of the YouTube videos. They're great. They are great. But I want you to listen to critical race theory just real quick here. It's a modern approach to social change developed from the critical theory developed out of Marxism. Karl Marx, evolutionist. No God. You weren't created by God. Research Marx. Critical race theory approaches issues such as justice, racism, and inequality with a specific intent of reforming or reshaping society. In practice, this is applied almost exclusively to where? The United States of America. Did you know Vladimir Putin stood up? And y'all may think I'm a traitor. I love the red, white, and blue more than anybody in here. I love this country and what it stands for. That's why I'm telling you this stuff tonight. Vladimir Putin stood up in front of his regime, and you know what he said? This is communist Russia. And you know what he said? He said, homosexuality is wrong. And our school children in Russian schools will not be taught homosexuality. Putin said that. I applaud him for that. But our people say, no, homosexuality needs to be taught starting in kindergarten. And those kids need to find themselves and who they are. And if they identify, if they're a girl and they identify as a boy, or they're a boy and they identify as a girl, then you've got to call them by those things. This is ludicrous. It is diabolical. It is straight from the pits of hell. And I pray every day for my girls going to a public school that have to go into a fire pit like that and put up with the junk that's shoved down our throats. Critical race theory. Let's keep going with this. Here's what it stands for. American government, law, culture, and society are inherently racist. Here we go. Number two,
Everyone, even those without racist views, perpetuates racism by supporting those structures. The personal perception of the oppressed, their narrative, outweighs the actions or intents of others. That is why BLM has hit this nation like a storm that can't be quelled. It is a organization that has hit this. And if you speak out against BLM, get ready because you're going to be targeted. You're going to be targeted. There are people that have tried to speak out against this and they have lost their jobs over it. They've lost positions over it because they have spoken out against groups like Black Lives Matter. Of course Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. But when you look at the systematic, quote-unquote, theology of Black Lives Matter, you know where it goes back to? It goes back to Karl Marx. It goes back to Karl Marx. Oppressed groups will never overcome disadvantages until the racist structures are replaced. Critical race theory teaches oppressor race or class groups never change out of altruism. They only change for self-benefit. Application of laws and fundamental rights should be different based on the race or class groups of the individual involved. In short, critical race theory presupposes that everything about America's society is thoroughly racist. And your president of the United States says that public education, public schools will teach critical race theory. And I'm so thankful in the state of Texas. Praise God. You may not like him, but I'm going to tell you what. He's going to get my vote on a couple of things that he did this past couple of months. Governor Abbott stood up and said, not in our state. Not in our state. Not in our state. Praise God. 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution gives us what? It gives us something called states' rights. The Civil War was not fought over slavery. It was fought over states' rights. States' rights. So when we look at this, and I'm going to be honest with you, I got a lot of black friends. Love them. My brothers, my sister, I love them. Man, I have fun with them. Those ladies that were here this morning, they are just awesome to me. But I'm going to tell you something. I have been subjected to racism before because of my color. You probably have been subjected to racism before because of your color and where you have gone and places that you've gone, and they've looked at you like, what are you doing in here? I've walked into Church's Fried Chicken in the bad part of town and went up there to get me some chicken and get some mashed potatoes and sit down and have a drink and looking at me like, what are you doing in here? Do we go out and grab signs and picket? No. Do we go out and grab rocks and throw them through church windows? No. Do we go set cars on fire and do those things? No. And let me tell you about the vast majority of African Americans in the United States today, they don't agree with that either. They don't agree with it either. So what we have a group funded by George Soros, funded by other mega billionaires that send people out like Antifa into places to create chaos. And you say, Michael, why are you harping on all this when you should stick to the Bible? Because this is who I'm talking about. They are fools. They're fools. I appreciate our security team. They have plans in place that there is a disruption in service. Disruption in service. In the 1050 service, we had a couple get up and leave. Get up and leave. They said they were bored. I'll tell you why they left, because they didn't like what was being preached. One Sunday night, I had a prayer. And I prayed for the nation of America. And I prayed that the Lord would restore His hand upon this nation and forgive us of our sins of condoning Roe v. Wade and condoning the Supreme Court actions to legalize homosexual marriage. And there were two homosexuals sitting back there on the back row. Do you think I would have ran them out of here? Absolutely not. They need to hear the Word of God. But you know what they did after that prayer? They got up, they walked out, and they left. They left. Michael, don't you get worried about that? Don't you know you got to go chase them down and get them back coming? No. No. And if you think differently in that, then you need to get in the Word of God. Because folly is what we're dealing with here. Folly. Jesus said, don't cast the pearls before who? Don't cast the pearls before the swine. So what we're dealing with here is this wokeness theory. We're dealing with a critical race theory. We're dealing with these things. Whoever is simple, let him turn here. And as for him who lacks understanding, this is what she says to him. This is the seductress to a T. Here she is. Look at verse 17. Stolen water is sweet. Now this is referring to what gets you into folly in the first place. Sexual sin. Sexual sin. That mannequin that's holding up that sign that's naked in Houston, Texas, and we're driving by trying to get the girls to look over here, and that line of men that are going into that joint, whatever you want to call it, honky-tonk, I don't know what they're called anymore, club, whatever. As they're going into that establishment, they have what on their mind? Stolen water is sweet. This simply means that an adulterous sexual relationship to the man and vice versa, even for the woman and the man, here's what it seems. It may seem right, but it's not. There is an allurement for women and men to get in a seductive, adulterous relationship because of the risk and danger that is involved. And they want to recreate scenes off of General Hospital. And let me tell you this, General Hospital is filmed in Hollywood, California. And in Hollywood, California, let me tell you something, everything is fake. Can I get an amen, Brother Juan? Yeah. So when we look at this tonight, this stolen water is sweet. It seems right, but it's not. This stolen water is sweet, the woman of folly says, but Solomon said to the young son Rehoboam, he said, drink water from where? Your own well. Your own cistern. Yeah, your own cistern. That's right. Drink water from your own wife. Stolen water is not sweet. And he's going to show that to us in verse 18. Then he comes back and look at the next thing that he says. He says, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. We talked about the showbread on Wednesday night with Brother Schaefer and how bread was such a staple part of the Middle Eastern diet. And that bread that was eaten, Solomon says, the woman of folly, the woman of the fool, what is she? She's a person that likes to eat bread in secret. Well, what does that look like? That looks like maybe your lunch. When I was growing up, we called it dinner. And now they call supper dinner. I can't even keep them straight anymore. We used to call it dinner, and we called it supper. Okay? But you think about this. Bread eaten in secret, supper, lunch, dinner, whatever you may call it. When you go out, men, with another woman, when women go out with another man, and they go out and they say, oh, it's innocent. And you sit there and you break bread with them, you're opening yourself up for a load of problems. Bread eaten in secret will be a load of problems. A load of problems like what, Michael? I appreciate Pastor Boyd at our marriage conference. He said sometimes it's not so much the physical adultery that gets men in trouble. It is the emotional and spiritual adultery that we suffer with. What does that mean? What was that country singer? Man, there's a lot of good country songs that can go with this. It said, oh, it's too cold at home. So listen to this. They go out and they sit down and they have a drink or they have meals with these ladies and they get there and what do? They pour out their heart. And that lady pours out her heart. And then what happens? You have this emotional attachment of where you're sharing things with this man or this woman that you don't even know, you may just have a working relationship with, when you should be sharing those things with your husband or your wife. That's what he's saying. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. That's the way it looks for the adulterer. That's the way it looks for the person of folly. That's the way it looks. But then I want you to look at that last verse. Because if this last verse don't shake you in your boots, nothing will. Nothing will. He does not know that the dead are there. and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Sheol, the grave. Folly leads to one thing. It leads to death. It leads to death. My prayer is that God has opened up your eyes. He's opened up your ears. Remember what He said this morning? Jesus said, "He who has an ear, let him hear." The scales have fallen off your eyes. Your ears can hear His Word. And what? He guides our lives, not some TV show, not some television documentary, not some radio show, not some music, not some crazy philosopher, not Ellen DeGeneres, not Oprah Winfrey, but the Lord God, Jesus Christ, guides us through His Word. And man, when we're in His Word, watch this. When we're in His Word, very rarely have I, and this is from personal experience, very rarely when I'm in His Word, made foolish error. But let me tell you what, when I'm out of His Word, I've made some stupid, bonehead mistakes. Mistakes. Paul says to the church of Corinth in chapter 1, verse 30, "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus," listen to this, "who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written," and he quotes here, going all the way back to who? He goes all the way back here to Jeremiah. He says, "He who glories, let him glory in the Lord." So tonight, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, I have to ask myself this question. Does critical race theory give glory to the Lord? No. Does Black Lives Matter give glory to the Lord? No. Does wokeness in this liberal agenda give glory to the Lord? Negative. So tonight, you and I know where we stand. We stand with the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for opening up our eyes. Thank You for giving us the ability to hear. Lord, thank You for a change of heart. Lord, we just want to pray tonight for repentance in our lives. If we have sinned against You, if we have done things against You that are unpleasing to You, that have walked in the ways of foolish ways, Lord, I pray that You correct us. Take Your rod and drive us back to the path that You would have us to take. Lord, tonight there may be people here that have mixed up ideas. They may have been taught wrong. And my prayer is that they don't lean on the teachings of the world, but they lean on the teachings of Your Word. Lord, be with us. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, help us stand in this time of tribulation. Not for our glory, but Lord, so that You get the glory. We love You and we praise You tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I appreciate you so much being here tonight. Don't forget the services midweek. We got a great time coming up with our services midweek of studying the Word of God. And then on Sunday morning, it's going to be a very special service for Memorial Day. And I hope that you'll be here and celebrate the ones that have given all so that we can do what we do here this evening. And then on Sunday night, again, we'll be celebrating Memorial Day. And I've got a very special message that the Lord has put on my heart. And I've been torn on this, but I'm just going to speak from the heart next Sunday night. And just pray for me on that, because I have been torn on this, whether to say anything. But I think what needs to be said needs to be said. So pray for me for next Sunday night's message. I love this church and I love what you stand for. And I love that you love the Lord and you love His Word. Man, I tell you what, that just gives me chill bumps thinking about that. Your love for His Word.
As we get ready to leave this evening, Brother John has to make a trip. And so I'd ask that you pray for Brother John and lift him up and lift his family up during this time. And pray for others in our church that have needs, that are hurting. We don't need to know everything. We just know that we need to pray for them. We need to be there for them. And so lift them up as well. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed once again in prayer. And if you have any questions or need prayer, I'll make myself available over here by the piano, and I'd love to visit with you and pray with you, whatever the case may be. Thank you again for being here tonight. Thank all you guys that stayed for 2 hours back here. Y'all been up here just grunting through, man. We've been going all afternoon, and I just want to thank you for your leadership in the church for doing that. I'm going to ask my dad, Jerry Bruce Mize, if he will, to close us in prayer this evening.